Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Is that Pro Bowl practice over there? Are we doing that this weekend?
Wow. Yeah, we had the skills competition last night.
Nice.
And so, yeah, we're getting ready for a flag football game. Is what we're doing now.
It is feeling like a Super Bowl week already as we're here with you on a Football Friday. We're flying out to New Orleans on Monday, and we're live today, live at the Star here right next to the Ford Center at the Omni Hotel. Join us for some fellowship. Stella Artois is here handing out coldies. It's a great place to swing on by, especially on a Friday. It's quitting time. You know it is, and we'd love to see you. Here's Brian with some Krusty's Corner.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. We've talked about it today, a little bit with Clayton Adams interviewing next door. Hopefully get an update here before the end of the show that maybe they have something. I'm just kind of working the phones and trying to keep up to breath the best way to, that we can maybe find this thing out, maybe break a little news if he, in fact, does get signed here.
And I want to make it clear, not only am I a big Dak Prescott fan, but I feel like every quarterback in the NFL in this climate should love it if a coaching staff in a front office says, we're going to get you a great running game. It's no disrespect to the quarterback.
No, I don't think
so. It's what time it is.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that. You know, the one thing, and especially – it sounded like that Mike McCarthy, when they were doing the little bit of negotiating for this job, when it was McCarthy and Jerry, they agreed that Dak was no longer the mobile guy that he once was. And that's whether that's age, injury, it's just not, I'm not saying it as slam to Dak, but I'm saying it as a, hey, we have to do better running the football. We have to do things to help Dak Prescott run the football.
Yeah.
We did, Wolchek and I were part of a mock draft. We picked an offensive lineman yesterday, Josh, Simmons from Ohio State. I would like to believe that the Cowboys front office would consider taking an offensive lineman, moving Tyler Guyton to right tackle and letting him compete with Steele over there.
For me, I was thinking about that actually last night and then some more this morning. Like, would they really do this? I feel like because Steele is under contract with not a clear out for another 12 months, and you just drafted Guyton,
yes,
I think sticking with this plan is what historically they would do. They will stay with a draft pick thinking it's his opportunity. We need him to step up. But if they're bold enough now to say it's so important that after that year and, what we've seen from Steele, we need a massive upgrade here, I would love it, because picking at 12, your chances of a successful offensive lineman are a lot higher than picking in the late 20s.
Yeah, I just, I do have so many questions about some of these offensive linemen. I have a lot less questions other than the injury stuff on Simmons. But these other ones I have some legitimate concerns about their playing ability. I'll say this too. Maybe if they can get Adams signed up as the O-line coach, that maybe that will help Guyton. And I say this because my sources who know Adams well as a coach talk about how he's willing to work with rookies or veteran players. And I think that's maybe last year, let's be honest, Guyton has to mature. It has to become important to him. The work ethic, all those things have to change. And if they do, well, then, you'll probably get to the player that you evaluated. But there's a lot to learn. But I think the fact that Mike Solari wasn't on board with he's making mistakes, we got to pull him out of there, instead of maybe working with him, coaching him, they just kind of pushed him aside, put a Doga in there, and then they said, here we go. But that also happens to a organization that the coaching staff is trying to save their jobs.
Yeah.
Instead of working with him and trying to make him better, you immediately just put him to the side. And he goes, listen, that's going to be somebody else's problem when we get fired.
And that's part of the problem with not just cutting your losses with McCarthy last year and riding out this 1 year, because all those bad things start to happen. You're making an investment in a guy in Tyler Guyton,
right?
And now he's going to get part of it to his own doing, but he's going to get the short end of the stick because you wanted to keep McCarthy around in a lame duck year, and now everybody has to act that way, act accordingly, save my own rear end, even if it means messing up potentially some things that are more big picture.
Yeah, that's my hope, that maybe it a fresh start for him. You know, just that. Now, what sucks for him also, though, is second year, his second new line coach. You know, another new line coach to have and to deal with, you know, to have to deal with. You kind of say the same with Micah Parsons, all the defensive coordinators he's now having to play through as well. But, you know, Mike is further down in his game, you know, than where Guyton is. But this offensive line has to improve. And I think the start of it would be if they could get Adams signed up. And I think, honestly, as much as I would love for them to take Jeanty, if Simmons was on that board, I think they have to consider that.
Yeah,
I think they absolutely have to consider it. not only for their running game, but for Dak Prescott and, you know, protection and things like that going forward. That kid at Ohio State's ready to play. I mean,
with as many needs as you have, getting redundant at tackle with a premium pick.
Yeah,
but better be a hell of a player, Brian.
I hate it. I hate to because we've gotten so accustomed to plug and play here.
Yeah.
You know, and last year, yeah, your center, you plugged him in. Kid hadn't played center in forever, and I don't think he let you down. You know?
Well, you definitely don't want to pass on Michael Jordan because you have Jim Paxson at two guard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it's going to take a lot for me personally to move off Jeanty for me personally, but I would consider it for Simmons. I would absolutely talk about that.
It's a strong endorsement.
I would consider that. And I absolutely love Jeanty. All right. I promise you some nerdy numbers and stuff like that. This comes from my friends over at the Next Gen. This is what's provided to the teams. This is not, hey, the fans get this. No, the teams get this type of information. So just want to go through. I want to talk a little bit about Steve Spagnuolo versus Jalen Hurts. And these are some of the notes that they put in their packet here for their teams. The Chiefs rotated their safeties after the snap, i.e. disguised coverages, 37% of the snaps during the regular season. That's 14th highest in the league. But they have done so on 46% of those snaps through two playoff games.
Yeah.
So they're going through more disguise.
You can't grade the Chiefs on what they do in the regular season on either side of the ball. They get to the postseason, and now this is a completely different animal that you have to deal with.
Well said. The AFC Championship game, they disguise coverage on a season-high 56% of the snaps.
Wow.
That's their third highest rate in the game under Steve Spagnuolo. Now, here's the matchup they call. The Chiefs have disguised their coverage on shells 41% of the dropbacks against the Eagles over their three matchups since Hurts has become the starter in 2021. This is the highest rate among any of their opponents with multiple matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Against all other opponents, the Chiefs have disguised their coverage on 33% of their dropbacks. What do you think they're trying to do with Hurts?
Well, they're trying to slow him down. He's known for being a slow processor, hanging on to the ball too long. He takes plenty of sacks because of it. And so that's one of the biggest knocks on Jalen Hurts is just his inability to process at a quick, high-speed level like what you're seeing with Jaden Daniels right now and that virtual reality helping him out a little bit. Jalen Hurts is like one of the first guys you think of that could really benefit from that virtual reality stuff.
Blitz. We're going to talk a little bit about the blitz and where it hurts. Jalen Hurts faced an off-ball blitzer 25% of his dropbacks this season, which is the third highest in the NFL, including 61 dropbacks with an off-ball blitzer. Okay, like an off-ball linebacker, safety, secondary player from the right side of the offensive line. Across those 61 dropbacks, Hurts was pressured 44% of the time while being sacked on 15% of those dropbacks. when not facing an off-ball blitzer from his right, Hurts was pressured just 31% of the time, including an 8% sack rate. So the matchups. The Chiefs blitz an off-ball defender at the fourth highest rate in the NFL this season. That's 27%, primarily doing it from the offense's left side. That's right at 16%. However, across Steve Spagnuolo's three matchups against Hurts, he has sent an off-ball defender from the offense's right side 18% of the time, compared to 12% on the other quarterback since 2021.
These analytics are very important, man. You just hope you have a coach that's paying attention to it as much as Steve was, or I know Belichick has. You know, the coaches that are prioritizing this in their preparation to get are harvesting gold, Brian.
They can, yeah, absolutely. And I think that you have to when you dive into these numbers and stuff, when they talk about, oh, how do they stop the tush push? Do they run it to the left? Do they run it to the right? There's trends and things like that that you can dive into and kind of get an idea of, like, okay, this coordinator, like Kellen Moore, is not adjusting. He's doing it this way, and he's continually doing this way. Now it's up to Kellen Moore to be able to, but it, like a Steve Spagnuolo, who's really smart, Steve will keep something at the end of the game,
right,
that they haven't seen.
Yes.
I mean, he will show them like they did with Buffalo, the last play. He shows them the blitz off the edge, and he kept showing it and showing it and showing it. It's to the point where they weren't bringing anybody. Then Buffalo immediately just slides the line away from it. Well, what happens? The last time he needs it, he brings it, and he gets a free rusher home, and they're off the field on fourth down.
He's thinking three or four moves ahead. Not the difference of the greats.
Yeah,
they're setting you up,
and they do it on both sides of the ball as well.
Yeah.
Do you feel like which group do you feel like? And we'll get into it like when we get to New Orleans to talk about which group though. Do you feel like which coordinator has to be on it for Kansas City? Is it Spagnuolo or is it Andy Reid?
Oh, I think it's Spagnuolo, because there's the big opportunity. If you can figure out a way to stop that run and pressure Hurts, then I think you got him. You know, where I think a relatively generic offensive game plan can get the job done if Steve's in his bag.
And one final thing, if I could, this is on Saquon Barkley. And this is talking about Saquon Barkley, where he runs the football. Saquon Barkley has gained 344 yards on 37 carries. That's a 9.3 yard per carry average right there outside the tackles this postseason. His 344 yards and five touchdowns are each the most by any player in the postseason in the next-gen era. And his 185 yards are over expectations, are over plus 100% more than any other player since 2018. So how well that Kansas City is able to play the edges. We know they can play the inside with Bolton and linebackers and stuff like that, but how well they can play on the edges is going to be key. Mm-hmm. With Karloftis and those guys, they are going to have to be on it, because that ball, I think, is going to go on the outside, especially with the way Barkley's having some success.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Barkley's the guy that he's their explosive playmaker.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the GBAC Nation. We are live at the Omni in Frisco. Join us. It's presented by Stella Artois, supporting Francis Tiafoe in the Dallas Open this weekend. The Ford Center at the Star right next door, where we understand they are talking with Clayton Adams, the Arizona Cardinals offensive line coach, might soon become Shoddy's right-hand offensive man. Okay, NFL Draft Big Board report. Will McClay says the draft aligns with team needs. What does that tip their hand towards? We're talking draft with you coming up next right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.